This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Just a series where outside of an Adam Frazier home run on Friday, they put up almost no resistance. So I get a text any day now on major changes getting made over at the Pirates. And lo and behold, Ken Rosenthal writes about this today. He's baseball's Adam Schefter. And he puts Derek Sheldon on a list of managers who could be fired in season. But the way he framed it is what caught my eye. He writes, even if Sheldon is flawed as a manager, I would drop the even if and just have it say Sheldon is flawed as a manager. Even if Shelton is flawed as a manager, does anyone seriously believe he's the problem? Well, let's tackle that question first. Does anyone seriously believe Derek Shelton is the problem?
On the list of their problems, if there's a medal stand, bronze, silver, gold, I think he's the bronze medalist.
But he is still part of the problem.
Sure. He's on the podium.
He's not somebody...
He's not somebody who was helplessly dragged into this situation and is being forced to manage against his will.
He's not Andrew McCutchen on the 2010 Pirates where they lose 105 games and they have a great center fielder. He's not Jim Leland managing
the
1993
Pirates.
Or 1995 Pirates. Exactly. Where it's like, man, they left the cupboard bare for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really even like the way he's presenting this because it makes it seem like or feel like as long as the owner isn't good, as long as the GM isn't good, you just accept...
What's poor Derek Shelton to do?
You just accept a bad manager. You just put up with someone that's not up to the task.
Except Clint Hurdle was an established manager who joined a team that had a bad manager in John Russell, and I think through sheer force of will, dragged bad lineups to improvements in his first 2 years and then a massive improvement in year three.
I mean, I didn't feel like Neil Huntington. I thought the jury was out on him as a general manager when Hurdle got here. It's not like 2008, 2009, 2010 went so well that
they didn't. They went
we
horribly.
Were sure that he was the right guy. I mean, he also drafted Tyone over Machado in the 2010 draft. I mean, there's some misses there. So, Look, do I think the next guy they hire to be their manager is going to like make Ben Cherington all of a sudden like the light bulb goes on and now he's good at his job? No, I don't. But I also don't like the GM and the owner being used as a way to defend what we've seen from Shelton's teams.
Well, two things are true. They're not a talented team and they play worse for him than they would for almost any other manager in the league. Do you think he's the worst manager in baseball? I do.
It's hard for me to say that just because I'm not watching all 30 teams
closely.
Out of
216 guys who've managed at least 700 games, he's coming in at a robust 212 on the list for winning percentage. Donnie had that great stat for us.
Charlie originally had the stat and then Donnie used it. But
okay,
yes.
Thank you, Charlie.
By way of Donnie.
I feel comfortable saying he's the worst manager in baseball. Two things can be true. They are a group that lacks talent, particularly when it comes to position players. he makes their talent that they don't have much of worse. Jack Sawinski has gone backwards under his and his staff's tutelage. O'Neal Cruz has never taken a step forward under his and his staff's tutelage. Brian Reynolds has actually this year taken so far a significant step back under his and his staff's tutelage. Henry Davis.
Yeah, I'm not going to, I don't really care much about the Reynolds one
Fine.
Yet, but the
Throw
other ones
Reynolds
I agree
to the
with
side.
You on
Henry
so far.
Davis, the number one overall pick, who at the bare minimum was supposed to be able to hit even if he didn't have a position in the pros. That was even the read on him the day they drafted him from people. Has not hit at all. Hit very briefly his first time up, and then has turned into a complete lost soul. Derek Shelton, need I remind anybody, is a hitting coach by trade. He can't manage the bullpen. That's a problem, but you could at least try to say to him, well, hitting's his forte. He doesn't apparently do anything with these guys, and they don't hit.
I think the game moves too fast for him, and I know baseball's a slower game than football and hockey, but I feel like in-game moves, he's usually late on things, whether that's when to pull a pitcher, when to get a pitcher out of a game, like whether to put a reliever in, take a guy out of a game, like in those very, very critical aspects of the job where you're not getting a text or a phone call necessarily from your GM saying, do this now. These are things that are strategized and talked about before the game. I feel like his in-game handling is not on par with the better managers in the league. This series gets brought up a lot because, frankly, it's the biggest one he's ever managed in. But Torey Lovullo from the Diamondbacks managed circles around him in that series here last year, which basically ended the Pirates' season. The chess match that went on between those two guys wasn't even close.
It was chess versus Connect Four.
Right.
And then I remember you were out, but we were able, through some of your help, to get Torey Lovullo on the show because he was the National League manager announcing that Skeens was going to start. And you know what the takeaway everyone had was when I was done with that interview? I wish that dude was the Pirates manager. He sounds so unbelievably sharp and with it. That's why they're good.
I feel like if Francona was the Pirates manager, they would be better.
Hard to be worse.
I think the morale would be better. I think the vibes around the team would be better. I trust him as far as like communicating and developing players. I mean, he's not afraid to dress down guys and put him in their place.
He's got a proven track record of having taken less talent overall with teams like Cleveland and dragged a lot more out of it than
people thought he could get. He basically embarrassed Trevor Bauer in front of 30,000 people in that game in Kansas City when he showed him up and threw the ball into the outfield. The guy knows he's got a bedside manner at times. He also knows when to administer tough love. And yeah, like I don't think they would be worlds better with him as their manager, but I could tell you they wouldn't be looking like a 90 to 95 loss team, which is what they are right now.
They're the second worst team in baseball if you go by like a lot of things like run differential.
Ahead of the White Sox, and that's it?
I mean,
are you talking about the National League?
I'm talking about overall. The White Sox are 4-11, so they're a half game worse, but Colorado's the only team I think that's definitively.
I mean, the White Sox lost 121 games last year. I'm pretty sure they're worse than the Pirates.
I don't know how much worse, though, at this juncture.
Rosenthal, the number one problem is Nutting, who runs the Pirates on the tightest of budgets. The number two problem, a good way down the depth chart, is Charrington, who has not produced the pipeline of young talent necessary for a small market team to succeed.
I mean, I agree with that summation.
That's true, but it's a little bit easier and more black and white with the Steelers because we know Tomlin has a lot to do with the drafting of players too. So when the guys don't develop, it's also on him. He gets the credit for the guys when they develop. He gets the blame when they don't because it's mostly mainly his call, especially now that Colbert's gone. In these cases, like, who sets the agenda for developing major league players? Is that Ben Charrington or is that Derek Shelton? Is Derek Shelton just carrying out orders? And if that's all he's doing, well, then, like, to me, that's part of the problem here. Yes, you don't want a situation like the Steelers where Mike Tomlin is basically the king and everybody's underneath him. You want more checks and balances between your manager and your GM. And if your manager is just a yes, sir guy and you're not getting results, if I'm the owner of the team, I want to put someone in that situation who's going to have more give and take with the GM. Because clearly the GM just running the show his way is not yielding the results that you want or need right now.
The problem is
six.
The GM, even though he finishes DFL, I think you can fill in the blanks, most years with most of his teams, can say he won a World Series and Charrington or Shelton comes in here with no managerial experience.
Right.
It stands to reason that a guy like Charrington's going to run all over him and tell him you're doing this, you're doing that. I mean, I would have fired Cherington even before I would have fired Shelton, believe it or not. Cherington hasn't even, I can't even name a Ben Cherington pick other than giving him credit for taking Skeens over Cruz, which is not what I was going to do in that situation. I would have taken the everyday player. He obviously made the right choice. I can't think of like one move of his that I really like. I think he's terrible at his job.
Well, Chandler, possibly. I mean, if he got him in the third round and he turns out to be a great pitcher, that would be one. But it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
It needs to happen.
Still got to get there.
Right.
Like, I think Cherington deserves to be fired more than Shelton, but that certainly doesn't mean that Derek Shelton, this isn't like a Derek Shelton apology tour. He's awful. He has, and the results
so
back
who would
it
you,
up.
So you would, do you stand by that then? You'd fire the GM before you'd fire the manager right now?
Yes, technically. Here's what I would do. I would fire the GM right now, and then 5 minutes later, I would fire the manager just to say I fired the GM first. Like that Todd Haley bit where he thought he was getting the job in Cleveland when Hugh Jackson got fired. Instead, he got called into the office and fired too.
Yes, and he started texting people like his wife to say that he thought he was going to be the next coach of the Browns, that situation.
Yeah. But I think Cherington is even worse. But I agree with Ken Rosenthal's overall summation of the problems that ail this franchise.
Donnie, are you willing to give Cherington more time, or would you push them both out the door at the moment?
They both should have been out the door last September or early October. I can't remember the exact date when the season came to an end. That should have been their end date. Together. Unfortunately for Derek Shelton, he has that position where it makes more sense in pro sports to replace that guy mid-season because he is the manager. He's the coach that we see across sports. That guy gets replaced mid-season all the time. You don't really see that as much with the GM, but I will say that while also saying I do think that Cherington is objectively worse at his job than Shelton is at his.
Wow.
Neither one is good. I mean, let's not.
I'm shocked to hear you say that because at least Ben has built a champion. It wasn't here, but at least he's done something positive in his.
At some point, though,
about what he's done here.
At some point, though, that becomes like saying Mike Tomlin did win a Super Bowl in year two, and like you start looking at the recent resume.
I know, but that also makes Mike Tomlin a better coach than I don't know Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, we're splitting hairs here. Ben Cherington has a World Series that no one will ever be able to take away from him, but damn if he isn't trying to give it away with all the post-World Series work he's been doing. I mean, he did the Tony Sanchez draft strategy thing with the Henry Davis draft and just biffed it in ultimate spectacular fashion.
The best offensive move the guy has made is taking a chance on Joey Bart.
Yes.
All due respect to Joey Bart, he ain't Mike Piazza.
No, and the other catcher he took with the number one pick is flailing again at the major league level and is like widely disliked by a lot of the people inside the organization.
Which has been an open secret since they drafted him. Also, the guy, like to the extent you think that Ben Cherington has say-so in how players are developed, like comes up with basic principles and plans, I think Ben Cherington had a lot to do with, hey, Jack Sawinski, you're a 26 home run guy last year. We need you to be more selective. Jack Sawinski, as I've said many times, is somebody, the coaching he should have got was, Jack, see ball, swing hard, hit ball. Instead, they tried to turn him into Joey Votto.
Look, there's still 100-plus games, and I don't think that this is getting figured out overnight. I would be interested in seeing what they look like when they're managed by another team, by another guy, excuse me. And if it's Donnie Kelly or somebody from the outside who you bring in, and a lot of the same issues are still there, in terms of like lackadaisical play, lack of focus, like lack of fundamentals. If that continues to happen, well then, yeah, like Ben, goodbye.
Well, I do think there's a problem with Shelton where these guys seem to like him personality-wise. Oh, he's pretty friendly and all that. Well, at some point you need an ass kicker in there who's throwing over the post-game spread and making a mess of things. I think I just saw somebody post like the Angels in the outfield when Danny Glover just goes through that locker room. And
I don't think it's a good thing that all the Steelers players like Mike Tomlin.
No.
You don't want the head coach to be universally loved and universally liked. That's not the way that relationship is supposed to exist.
That was always one of those ridiculous things. Now, Belichick was maybe more of a Brady creation, but guys would say, oh, I loved playing with the Steelers. It wasn't fun to play in New England, but they won.
Yeah, I feel like a coach, like you want to have a coach that strike some sort of natural intimidation.
I thought,
like, it doesn't matter really like what the guy's like, size or stature is. Yeah, I don't want a guy that's going to be their buddy.
I thought that the way this was always supposed to work across every sport was the head coach is the bad cop in pretty much every situation, and you're like position coach if it's football, or assistant coaches in other sports, bench coach in baseball, are the good cop.
That's why I think Shelton's a good hitting coach.
Well, right.
I think he's perfect in a role like that.
If you have some a-hole as your actual manager, but Shelton's going, nah, you're doing all right, we'll get after this and fix this, that's his personality. Except, by the way, I would stress, the guy whose team can't hit, who's on a very hot seat, apparently has no interest in tapping into his area of expertise and actually trying to get hands on.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.